everybody. How is it going? Welcome to the nightly edition of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge here on Facebook Live and on Twitter Live. And also, this is going to be broadcasted on WQEE. Not tomorrow, though, because Braves Country Baseball and Mac McGee with the armchair quarterbacks are going to be at spring training for the Atlanta Braves. So he's going to have my time slot for tomorrow. This show is going to be replayed at a later date, but this show is going to have some of the sound bites that I got from the Say Mark 3rd Annual Bi-City Basketball Awards Luncheon, and it was a success. I'm hoping to get Thrift Behringer on, and we could talk a little bit about that and talk a little bit about March Madness, because right now it is day one of the NCAA tournament, all-day basketball that started at 12 o'clock this afternoon. And we've already got upsets. My bracket's already busted. Even though I picked Furman to beat Virginia, I just feel bad for Virginia. They didn't even make the tournament last year. They have lost in the first round already three times in the last 5 years. And I know they have that one championship in 2019, but the tournament has not been friendly to Tony Bennett's bunch up in Charlottesville. NCAA tournament going on. That Furman game. Wow. Virginia had this game won. Furman intercepts the pass with about 10 seconds left to go. Virginia was up by two, and Furman intercepts it. The call by Kevin Harlan. It was mind-blowing. Furman with a three-pointer, and they defeat the Virginia Cavaliers, and they move on. A 13th seed defeats a number four seed. And how about Princeton? A 15 beats a two. And Arizona gets upset by Princeton, 59-55. Auburn beats Iowa, 83-75. I mean, come on. Auburn's playing in Birmingham. That's kind of not fair. And I'm going to have to put a show together for tomorrow. It should be a lot of fun. Alabama had no problem beating Texas A&M Corpus Christi, 96-75. You got Kansas beating Howard, 96-68. Missouri beats Utah, 76-65. Maryland beats West Virginia, 67-65. Colgate loses to Texas, 73-59. At least my Final Four is still intact, because I do have Texas going to the Final Four. And Northwestern is leading Boise State. My bracket so far looks good, although I had Arizona going to at least the Elite Eight. I got to see what I picked it. Arizona to go to, because my bracket is busted because of Arizona. So basically, if you look at the bracket, World Baseball Classic, the United States, they take on Venezuela tomorrow. And I know I'm rooting for the U.S. I want to see the United States do well, but Venezuela undefeated in World Baseball Classic play, 4-0, including beating Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. They are the one seed taking on the United States this Saturday night. That should be a very good game. I'm cheering for Ronald Acuña Jr. You know, as a Braves fan, I would like to see Ronald Acuña Jr. do well. And then you have Japan and Cuba moving on to the semifinals over there, and Mexico taking on Puerto Rico tomorrow. So day two of the NCAA tournament tomorrow, the big game up in Greensboro, North Carolina, the Kennesaw State Owls. You know, I had Justin Dale on the show yesterday. He is a big North Metro Atlanta guy. So the buzz up there is that the Kennesaw State Owls are for real, and they could get the upset win over Xavier. You got to understand how big of a deal this is to me. I moved to Georgia in 2006. In fact, my family moved to Georgia in 2004. I was visiting Georgia while I was in college in 2005. I went to my first Kennesaw State game back in 2005. I was on Christmas break, and Kennesaw State was about 10 minutes away from my parents' house. And so I went to this basketball game. It was Kennesaw State taking on North Florida. And in 2005 and 2006, that was the first year that the Kennesaw State Owls were playing in NCAA Division I. They actually would not be eligible for the NCAA tournament for a couple more years later. But that Kennesaw State team was very special. It was led by head coach Tony Engel, who unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago, but he was coaching his son, Ian Engel, who just shot the lights out of the ball. Kennesaw State actually looked pretty good in their first season in NCAA Division I. They won the championship in NCAA Division II in 2004. They make that transition. It was 2010. A player by the name of Markeith Cummings was Kennesaw State's best player. And Tony Engel was still the head coach. Spencer Dixon shot like a bunch of threes. And Kennesaw State knocked off Georgia Tech in one of the greatest upsets in Kennesaw State history. That was back in 2010. I was excited about it. I really wish I was doing sports talk radio because I definitely would have got on and talked about it. The one disappointing thing, back in 2010 when they had 790 The Zone and 680 The Fan, not one sports talk radio in Atlanta even mentioned that Kennesaw State upset Georgia Tech, and that really bothered me. And that from that point on, I was like, you know what? I'm doing sports talk radio. It's happening. Oh, yeah. It's on. So I'm very happy for Kennesaw State, Owl Nation, Hootie Hoo, the Kennesaw State Owls taking on Xavier tomorrow in Greensboro, North Carolina. And I do believe they're going to get the upset win. I think Youngblood has got a great shot, and he's just one of those players that can get the job done, the closer for the Kennesaw State Owls down the stretch. But Xavier is a very tricky team because Xavier is that type of team that can shoot the lights out. And Sean Miller, you know, he coached at Arizona. He coached Xavier before. Sean Miller is just that type of coach that could get Xavier to play well. Last time I remember when Xavier was a three seed, they beat Georgia in 2008. And that was just an incredible team. You know, I actually did have such a great time today. And hopefully I can get Thrift Behringer here on the show. It's going to be great. But what I'm going to do right now is talk about what is going on in the National Basketball Association. The biggest surprise in the NBA is the Sacramento Kings. They are beating the Brooklyn Nets right now, 96-89. There's about 3:19 left to go in the fourth quarter. I think the Sacramento Kings could get the number two seed. So they could possibly play the Golden State Warriors or the Clippers or even the Suns in the first round of the playoffs. Can the Kings win a playoff series? I don't think the Kings are back to their days of the greatest show on court, but I do feel that they got the right coach in place. Mike Brown, he's got experience as an assistant coach with the Warriors. He also led the Cleveland Cavaliers in LeBron's early years to the NBA Finals in 2007. So what has to happen for the Sacramento Kings to win a playoff series? They got to take advantage of the home court. The Sleep Train Arena, it's not Arco Arena. I remember how loud Arco Arena used to get. I remember going to Sacramento Kings games when I was living in Sacramento, and then Grant Napier would get on the mic and say, "You don't like that? You don't like Kings basketball." And I loved Grant Napier and how he was just rooting for the Sacramento Kings, and they had the best starting five. In 2002, they had the best starting five not to ever win a championship. Mike Bibby's your point guard. Doug Christie, the lockdown defender as the shooting guard. Peja Stojakovic, he shot the lights out of the ball. He liked that corner three. Peja Stojakovic, you got Hedo Turkoglu off the bench. Chris Webber, the ultimate power forward. He's also a Hall of Famer. And Vlade Divac, you know, the center that the Lakers just decided to write off and, you know, traded him to Charlotte for Kobe Bryant. But that's neither here nor there. Vlade Divac was the centerpiece for the Lakers in the early 90s. And then he came over to Sacramento and he made the difference. And you also had Scott Pollard. Scott Pollard was one of those players that was a lockdown defender. I loved Bobby Jackson off the bench. And the Sacramento Kings were not the same when Rick Adelman stepped down. The Kings were just going through a carousel of coaches, so I'm glad to see Mike Brown is working out in Sacramento, and they have just a dynamic duo with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, but I also like their rookie Keegan Murray, and I like their veteran Harrison Barnes. But it took years of Sacramento whiffing on their lottery picks, getting players like Willie Cauley-Stein, Ben McLemore, Thomas Robinson, Jimmer Fredette. The list goes on and on. I mean, Marvin Bagley III. I mean, seriously, the Sacramento Kings really have struggled because they just could not get these picks right. But I think that Keegan Murray could be a good, very good role player for Sacramento. So let's see what happens. I mean, you got 3 minutes left to go, and the Kings are up by five right now. And we do have a final, as Auburn did beat Iowa today, 83-75, and playing in Birmingham, that was a huge home court advantage for the Auburn Tigers. I actually like their matchup in round two against Houston, especially if Sasser's not playing. I think that Auburn could get the upset in round two over the Houston Cougars, even though the Cougars are a lot of people's favorites to reach the Final Four. I mean, they reached the Final Four a couple of years ago. I think that Houston is now as dominant as they were back in the Phi Slamma Jamma days. I think that Duke could be a dark horse to reach the Final Four. In fact, Duke is one of my picks to go to the Final Four, even though they are a number five seed. Duke is playing great at the right time. And even though they don't have Coach K, Duke is still a blue blood program that is going to just play off of Coach K's legacy. And that is always something that you want to see if you are a Duke Blue Devil fan, or if you don't even like Duke, and if you like North Carolina, you know, Duke can actually rub it in their face and say, hey, we're in this tournament and you're not. I mean, can you believe North Carolina is the first preseason number one team to miss out on the NCAA tournament? I mean, that is shocking. What's really shocking is in the NIT, Morehead State gets the upset over the overall number one seed in the NIT, 68-64 over Clemson. That was incredible. That was an incredible upset win by Morehead State. And then Liberty, the team that finished in the runner-up in the A-Sun tournament to Kennesaw State, they're going to try to see if they can get some noise going. They're taking on Wisconsin this Sunday. You remember a couple of years ago, Lipscomb, a team in the A-Sun, they were the runners-up to Texas in the NIT. And it is important because you get to hold that NIT banner. I actually can't wait to go to a Kennesaw State game next year when they play in the Convocation Center and they get to put up that banner that not only did they win the A-Sun tournament, but they got to play in the NCAA tournament. And maybe they could even get to the second round, Sweet 16. I mean, Florida Gulf Coast did. Why not Kennesaw State? What about St. Peter? St. Peter, as a 15 seed, went all the way to the Elite Eight. That is incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I'm looking forward to the games tomorrow, you know, starting at noon. You got USC and Michigan State. I'm really intrigued by this matchup. The 10 seed USC taking on Michigan State, the number 7 seed. Of course, Kennesaw Xavier at 12:40. You got University of South, UC Santa Barbara taking on Baylor. VCU, which is a dark horse of mine. I'm calling the upset here. I think that VCU is going to beat St. Mary's. You got Vermont taking on Marquette. Marquette is a lot of people's favorites to reach the Final Four. Shaka Smart is a very underrated head coach. He led VCU to the Final Four. He coached at Texas. Now he's coaching at Marquette. I like Shaka Smart. I think that he is going to be the coach that could get Marquette over the hump. Maybe they could get to where they were in 2003 with Dwayne Wade when they went to the Final Four. All right, Pitt taking on Iowa State. You know, the winner of that game is going to take on the winner of Kennesaw State, Xavier. Let's say Kennesaw State gets the upset win over Xavier. I like their chances against either Pitt or Iowa State. I'll be honest with you. I think that they actually have a shot. NC State, you know, a lot of people thought that they had no business being in this tournament. But NC State taking on Creighton. You got Iona taking on UConn. Here's another upset. I actually called it. I feel that Rick Pitino and the Iona Gaels will have an opportunity to knock off a UConn team. Even though they started off hot, they kind of sizzled off toward the end of the season. So I'm actually looking forward to this tournament. Let's move on here. After UConn and Iona, we get that right. FDU is taking on Purdue. Purdue never reached the Final Four. You know, all those great Purdue teams with Robbie Hummel, Glenn Robinson, you know, they've reached the Elite Eight, but Purdue has never reached the Final Four, and they are number one seed. And Zach Edey is a AP All-American. Providence taking on Kentucky. I like the upset here, Providence over Kentucky. Drake, a lot of people like Drake to upset Miami. I think Miami does win. Grand Canyon taking on Gonzaga. I don't know anybody that's picking Grand Canyon over Gonzaga. I think when Gonzaga gets into the NCAA tournament, they turn it on. Drew Timmy took over that game against Memphis last year. And I know it was all Chet Holmgren. The whole country was just on Chet Holmgren and how great he was. But, you know, remember, Gonzaga just continues putting players in the NBA. It wasn't always like this. But they got Chet Holmgren, even though he's out for Oklahoma City. Jalen Suggs plays for the Orlando Magic. And Drew Timmy is going to be the next big NBA superstar that comes out of Gonzaga. Now, I'm a fan of Ronnie Turiaf, and Adam Morrison didn't really pan out. He was a bust. But I still was a fan of Adam Morrison and his passion and crying on the court when Gonzaga lost that game to UCLA. That was back in the early 2000s when Florida won those back-to-back titles. I remember Gonzaga was one of those teams that was battling. All right, let's go down to FAU and Memphis. I like Memphis to win this game. I got Montana State and Kansas State. Is anybody picking Montana State? I mean, out of all the 14 seeds that can get the upset, what about Montana State? You know, Kansas State is not really hearing a lot. I'm not hearing a whole lot of buzz. I just think if Arizona can go down tonight, any one of these high seeds can go down. Kent State, a lot of people are picking Kent State over Indiana. And then Arizona State and TCU. I actually like Arizona State. They won the play-in game. They're getting hot at the right time. Taking on TCU, that's a late game, 10:05 tip-off. And then even though I love Thursday and Friday, I love the second round just as much. The Saturday and Sunday games, this is where, you know, we actually get to see those dream matchups. I like seeing like the one play the eight, the four play the five. When it's chalk, when you're picking chalk, when you have a great matchup like Arkansas and Kansas, I mean, that's incredible. Maryland and Alabama, I definitely want to see that. Furman playing San Diego State. So, you know, one of those teams is going to go to the Sweet 16. And then Princeton taking on Missouri. So, you know that Princeton could make it to the Sweet 16, or Missouri as a 7 seed has an easier path to get to the Sweet 16. And then with Auburn winning, we expect Houston to win. And it's going to be Auburn and Houston. And I'm calling the upset. I believe because they're playing in Birmingham, that is a huge home court advantage for the Auburn Tigers. I believe Auburn is going to win that game and reach the Sweet 16. We could possibly have Alabama and Auburn in the Sweet 16. I cannot believe we're saying this as basketball fans. As a football fan, I mean, you talk about Alabama and Auburn, but let me tell you something. Back in 2005, when I actually went to Coleman Coliseum and I saw Alabama basketball take on the Memphis Tigers in the NIT, it was the week of the Iron Bowl. Alabama was playing Auburn at Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn. And so a lot of the fans were traveling to that game. So they weren't even on the campus of Tuscaloosa when it was time for Alabama basketball to take on Memphis basketball back in 2005. The stadium was completely empty. I'm not going to lie. Absolutely. Look, this was a big game that was televised on ESPN. There was nobody in the stadium, in the arena, Coleman Coliseum, whatever you call it. There was nobody there. And I came to the conclusion that even when Alabama basketball is good, I'm not saying that Alabama fans are not passionate about basketball, because there are Alabama fans who love Alabama basketball, and they would be so excited if Alabama won a national championship in basketball. They're just not as passionate about basketball as they are about football. And my point taken, Coleman Coliseum was completely empty that week. All the Alabama fans traveled to Auburn getting ready to go to the Iron Bowl in attendance or just watch it outside of the stadium. That is the truth. I'm just here to say it. I wish I had a, you know, look, it was 2005. I didn't have a digital camera and there wasn't a camera on my phone. And if there was a camera on my phone, it was like one of those Motorola flip phones where I can't get those pictures. So I don't know where the photo is. I would have taken a picture. I believe I did, of Coleman Coliseum, and it was just completely empty. Absolutely. I got to actually go back and see what the attendance was for that game. That was the Memphis Tigers team that I want to say that was Shawnee Williams' freshman year. Rodney Carney was on that team. Joey Dorsey, Robert Dozier, Chris Douglas Roberts. Oh, this was pre-Derrick Rose. This was the Memphis team that they were starting to build that depth. And I still believe to this day that Memphis, those teams that went to three straight Elite Eights, were the greatest teams assembled that never won a title. Yeah, I know, that's a hot sports take. It's actually five slamma jamma. And then after that, the 2015 Kentucky Wildcats, who were upset by Wisconsin in the Final Four. Those Kentucky Wildcat teams that had Karl Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, Willie Cauley-Stein. I mean, those teams, yeah, that team was a very, very good team. Oh, man. Man, I'm telling you, we are just flying by here on this show. I love doing the show. I can't think of anything greater than doing a live show here on the Sports Beat. It's just a lot of fun, and I just appreciate everybody who has listened and downloaded the podcast. Don't forget that you can download an episode of the Sports Beat on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so the moment of truth. You know, I got a live show. I'm actually going to come out and say it. Yes, I officially last week resigned as the play-by-play announcer for the Columbus Rapids. That was probably the toughest decision I ever had to make. With the season in limbo, there's six games left to go, and there are three of those games where we have no idea when they're going to schedule the games. They were supposed to play a three-game series, two games against the Memphis Americans Friday and Saturday, and then one game on Sunday against the Fayetteville Fury. And with everything that's going on with the new ownership group and the general manager leaving, they just could not get these games going. And it's really taken a ripple effect. And just looking at the scenario and looking at my schedule and what I have on the table and some of the other projects that I'm doing, I just felt it wasn't feasible for me to commit to the Rapids. And I was hoping that they could try to get a new announcer to replace me. With that being said, I mean, I don't mind helping out with like stats or talking to the new announcer or letting him like pick my brain and try to, you know, figure out this team. But I love doing Rapids games. I love the Rapids. It was just a great experience to have a full season last year. And this year I called three games and it was just an incredible experience. And I really thank the organization just for allowing me to call games for the Columbus Rapids. And I will be back. I might be calling the Rapids games, maybe filling in anytime I can. But I'm definitely going to be calling Columbus State soccer in the fall. And I'm hoping to call high school football in the fall as well. It should be a lot of fun. And we're going on 25 minutes here on the show. Just want to remind you that you are watching us on Facebook Live. This is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. This is a weekly show that I have on a Noonan radio station from 2 to 3. Monday through Friday, WQEE 99.1 out of Newton. And it's a jam-packed sports lineup. I mean, I'm right after Rod Peterson, who is a veteran in this business. He's does a show down in Florida. He talks hockey, CFL football. You know, he talks a lot of Canadian football, a lot of Canadian sports. And then I'm followed by Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. His show is actually called Braves Country Baseball with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. And before that, I actually had a time slot when I was at 30 minutes. I had a time slot right there with Bryce Kuhn. Bryce Kuhn is a broadcaster from Columbus that has now is writing for 24/7 Sports for LSU. So he's done some really good things with his broadcasting career. And we just have some amazing talent in the Fountain City. And I'm really just privileged to be a part of this amazing talent in the Fountain City. I thought that DJ Jones with Thrift Behringer did a phenomenal job with the Say Mark Foundation third annual Bi-City High School Basketball Awards luncheon today. I love the fireside chat between Mark Upshaw and Sam Mitchell. And of course, I knew who Sam Mitchell was because he played for the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Indiana Pacers. I had no idea who Mark Upshaw was. I got to know Mark Upshaw. You know, he was just an outstanding basketball player, played at Columbus High. Him and Sam were friends. He played there 2 years before Sam, when he was a freshman. Sam Mitchell was playing there when he was a freshman. He would go on to play at the University of Rhode Island, but he got a scholarship to play at the University of Georgia. Unfortunately, he had a gruesome injury, and he did not have an opportunity to get drafted in the NBA. Otherwise, he would have been a first-round pick. The Atlanta Hawks did invite him to training camp, but he decided to pursue a career outside of basketball, and he has thrived, and he's doing amazing things. I had a chance to meet him and Sam Mitchell earlier today, and I really think of what they're doing for these kids. And another thing, I had no idea Boston Celtics forward Grant Williams was a part of this Say Mark Foundation basketball camp. It's so amazing. I could be here and tell the story, but I would love to get Thrift Behringer on to tell the story because, you know, he's been a part of Sports Visions and, you know, getting to know these two outstanding, you know, basketball mentors here in the Fountain City. And it really, you don't have Sam Mitchell without Mark Upshaw. I mean, they really go hand in hand. I mean, the accolades that Sam Mitchell has, you know, playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Indiana Pacers, developing Kevin Garnett later in his career. Because remember, he went back to the Minnesota Timberwolves before he retired when Kevin Garnett was a very young player. And he really was responsible for helping the development of Kevin Garnett. And remember, those Minnesota Timberwolves were great. I mean, they were making the playoffs, but they could not get out of the first round. It wasn't until 2004 when they had Sprewell and the Candyman, Michael Olowokandi, and then Sam Cassell. Oh, was there not a better leader on the floor than Sam Cassell? I mean, maybe Chauncey Billups. I mean, Sam Cassell, he's got two rings with the Houston Rockets early in his career. Back in 93 and 94. And then, you know, he'd go on to play for the Milwaukee Bucks. He was in the backcourt with Ray Allen. He had Glenn Robinson on his team. That Milwaukee Bucks team in 2001, they took the Philadelphia 76ers to 7 games. And I really think the Bucks could have went to the NBA Finals in 2001. But too much Iverson, too much Mutombo, and the Sixers were able to steal a game against probably one of the greatest dynasties. Another hot sports take, but yeah, the Shaq and Kobe Lakers, they were unstoppable for about a year. Yes, they were unstoppable for about a year. Yes, you heard me right. They were unstoppable for just a year because in 2000, Sacramento took them to 5 games. They should have lost to Portland. In the Western Conference Finals, they should have lost to the Portland Trailblazers in 2000. 2001, nobody was touching them. They had the one loss in the playoffs. It was game one against Iverson. It was the famous stepping over Tyronn Lue, 2002. And I will say it till this day. Sacramento got hosed in game six of the 2002 Western Conference Finals thanks to rogue NBA referee Tim Donaghy. Look at the foul shots in that game. I wish I could just see archive footage of that game because the fouls were blatant. The refs wanted to get it back to a game seven because it would have had more ratings. And these two teams going back and forth, Sacramento was dominating the series. They got a lucky shot by Robert Horry to go 2-2, sending it back to Sacramento. And then Mike Bibby with that iconic shot. And then the Sacramento Kings are one game away from playing the Nets in the NBA Finals in 2002. Until this day, I still believe the Los Angeles Lakers should have an asterisk on that championship in 2002. You know, I'm not trying to be a hater. I mean, I have a lot of respect for the Lakers. I love watching the documentary. I love watching that Winning Time on HBO. That was really great. But I actually think, for a second here, as I reflect back on the NBA in the early 2000s, because that was a transition period, we know that Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant dominated the NBA in the early 2000s. I mean, there's no question that it was Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant. Kobe did it for 3 years. After that, Tim Duncan won a title in 03. The Detroit Pistons came out of nowhere in 04 and beat the Lakers. One of the biggest upsets in the NBA Finals. Pistons won it in 05. Another team, 06. The Shaq and Dwayne Wade team that was down 02 to Dallas. They win that game. And then San Antonio once again in 07. So from 2000 to 2007, it was the Spurs and Lakers, and then there was just some, you know, Pistons won a title in there, the Mavericks, you know, the Heat won a title in 06. Let's see, 08, that was the Boston Celtics. I'm shocked that the Big Three did not win any more titles. It was just the one title in 08. Remember, they had a really terrible record. Doc Rivers, as the head coach, he was the head coach when they were bad. But they assemble the first big three. This was before LeBron and the decision. This was before LeBron getting up on the stage and saying, not one, not two, not three. I didn't like that either. So the Celtics won the title in 08. Lakers back-to-back wins thanks to a gift trade by the Memphis Grizzlies, giving them Paul Gasol. I mean, I was a Memphis fan back then. You know, I lived in Memphis in 2005. I remember how great Pau Gasol was. He was Memphis. But then they traded him for Marc Gasol. I mean, that wasn't a bad trade. And some other picks, too. You know, Marc Gasol was a catalyst for those Memphis Grizzlies teams that had Zach Randolph, Mike Conley Jr., Tony Allen, probably one of the greatest defenders during that era. And Memphis actually went to the Western Conference Finals in 2013, but, you know, unfortunately, they got swept by the Spurs. It's been a fun show. 34 minutes have gone by, and I've actually improv'd, done this show off script. Going to give you some sports scores, some score updates. Houston beating Northern Kentucky 22-18. You got Louisiana and Tennessee all knotted up at 19. I'm picking the Raging Cajun to upset the Tennessee Volunteers. I know that's not going to make my former partner Brad Page happy. First of all, where has Brad Page been? I have not seen him anywhere. You know, he used to be a weekly guest on this show, and he's like gone. I don't know where he's at. I got to get a hold of him. Like I said, the two biggest upsets today, Princeton, a 15 seed beating Arizona. And then you had Furman in a wild, crazy shot. You got to relive this. I've been watching that video. Virginia has the ball. Okay, let's say Virginia does not give up the ball. Virginia's up by two. 10 seconds left to go. They have the ball. Hold on to the ball and let Furman foul you. I know that that guy was double teamed and he panicked. That was a panic move. Furman intercepts it. They're getting excited. They intercept it and they shoot a quick three. Furman's up by one with 2.4 seconds left to go. Let them foul you. And if you make two, the game's over. Virginia just choked that game away. It's been a disappointing last 5 years for the Virginia Cavaliers. I know they got the one title, but they lost to a 16 seed in 2018. They were a number one seed. They lose to a 16 seed. And then they lose to Furman. And then, 2021, they lost to Ohio, who was a 13 seed. Last year, they didn't even make the tournament. Think about that. They didn't even make the tournament. Anyway. Well, it is getting late. It is 10:12 at night. Remember I was doing this show? I was going 2 hours. I think I went 2.5 hours on this show. I actually was trying to see how long I could do a sports show without taking a break. I actually did take a couple of breaks. I had a water break in there. But here's what's going on in the World Baseball Classic. Oh, man. Japan defeated Italy today, and they are now in the semifinals. Japan has already got two of these. They won it in 06 and 09. And they will await the winner of whoever comes out of that Puerto Rico-Mexico game or the United States-Venezuela. I actually don't see the bracket. All I do know is that tomorrow you got Puerto Rico taking on Mexico. Mexico actually was able to defeat Canada to advance to the quarterfinal. And Mexico, you know, I think that they're going to throw Julio Urias. I mean, he's been their best pitcher, and that's exactly who they're going to throw. If you're going to have a pitcher pitch in an elimination game, a quarterfinal game, you want Julio Urias. Because he has been the most underrated pitcher for the Dodgers in a long time. And hopefully, if Mexico can advance, that he gets a couple of days rest. Because, you know, the championship game is on the 21st. That's the type of pitcher you want if Mexico gets all the way to the championship game. Hey, so I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast. I've been doing it for about 3 years now. I've had over 582 episodes. I actually was looking at the calendar. My 600th episode will air April 11th. That's going to be something. I remember it wasn't that long ago I was doing my 500th episode at Ivy Park. Well, since I am not associated with the Rapids anymore, I don't see any reason for me to continue to do the shows at Ivy. So I'm not doing any of the shows at Ivy. They're still a sponsor of the show, but I'm not going to be doing any of the shows at Ivy anymore. So that means that I will have an extra day to get more guests on this show. So message me if you would like to be a guest, and I can get you on the lineup. Well, that's all the time I have here on the show. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. I hope everybody has a great night. Drive safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Hope everybody has a great weekend as well, because we are getting ready for the weekend and should have a jam-packed show next week. You don't want to miss it. Have a great night, everybody.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
Want to give back to your community in a meaningful way? Cares for Kids is a Keller Williams Realty-founded charity in which 100% of money raised goes directly to children in need in our area. Cares for Kids helps fund local organizations like Angels House, Cowita Casa, Elevate, and more. Help Cares for Kids reach their mission of serving 1 million children. Call 678-634-9770 today to learn more on how to be involved, or text K4K Noonan to 44321 to donate.
This week's property of the week is located at 688 Cheatham Road in Griffin, Georgia. This 32.14-acre tract is waiting to find its new owner. This property features a 3-bed, 2-bath home built in 1890. An 18x28 utility shed ran with its own power and water, fencing for horses and other livestock, and timber such as pine, oak, and pecan trees. Call 678-634-9770 for more information.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. I am Richard Holdridge. I'm live here at the St. Luke's Ministry Center. It is the third annual St. Mark Foundation. It's the Basketball Awards Luncheon. I'm here with St. Ann Pacelli guard slash forward Cam Ellis. Cam, you also play quarterback for St. Ann Pacelli. You've been the heart and soul of the Pacelli Vikings, coming up short to Stratford Academy in the championship game. But what was the season like for you competing for a championship at Pacelli?
It was really just nice knowing that, like, I had a family around me. Everybody on the court was playing for each other the whole entire season. So as a team, you know, we still look at this season as a win because we came together as a family and as a brotherhood, and we played for one another and play for the name on the front of the jersey. So for us, it was still a win. You know, you hate coming up short in that type of game, but if anything, you know, it taught us a lot about ourselves, about each other, and, you know, what is to come for the Pacelli Vikings. So
I had the privilege of seeing that game against Brookstone where you came back from the injury. Cam, it didn't look like you were injured. You really just took over the game. And how was the injury like when you were playing in that Brookstone game?
I wasn't injured. I was sick. I was playing with mono and strep and the flu. So it was a little bit rough. You know, your heart just takes over and tells your body what it's going to do. And that's kind of what happened. You know, had a hospital visit after the game that got me back where I needed to be. But, you know, at some point you got to fight for a bigger cause. And at that point, you know, I wasn't really worried about myself. I was worried about winning and worried about what the team needed me to do. So,
and what does it mean for playing for head coach Corey Black? I know that he's got a discipline in him. Like, he's very, you know, he's got expectations for his players, especially during practice.
Yeah, Coach Black's always going to hold you to a higher standard probably than you even hold yourself. He wants you to be the best version of yourself on and off the court, and he's definitely in the position to make sure that you become the person on and off the court that he knows that you can be. He's gonna show you some tough love every now and then, but at the end of the day, that's all it is love. He just wants you to be the best that he can be because he feels that's his purpose, is to help young people discover who they are on and off the court. So having coach in your corner is always a blessing.
Now, Cam, now that you are a senior, what is your plans after basketball and football?
So I plan on going to college for basketball. I actually went on a visit yesterday. So we're being patient. There's some other schools still talking and stuff that we're trying to wait and probably wait as long as we can before we have to make a decision, just to see what other opportunities open up. But I intend to play basketball in college.
Cam, best of luck to you, and just wish you all the success in the world.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, that was Cam Ellis, the guard forward for the St. Ann Pacelli Vikings and quarterback for the Pacelli football team.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive Time on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
All right, I am Richard Holdridge here with the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. I am here with former NBA player and coach
a local Columbus legend, Sam Mitchell. He started the SAMARC third annual Basketball Awards Luncheon Foundation with Mark Upshaw. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Sam, you know me. I'm a huge basketball fan. I'm a huge fan of yours. Of course, I followed your entire NBA career, playing with the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Indiana Pacers, and also winning Coach of the Year with the Toronto Raptors. But you're inducted in the Chattahoochee Valley Sports Hall of Fame, played at Columbus High, went on to play at Mercer. I mean, everybody knows you around here in the Fountain City. And in my mind, with you and Mark Upshaw being the two best basketball players to ever come out of the Fountain City, but what does it mean to give back to the community?
Well, it's everything. I mean, this is our hometown. When we were kids, there were people in the community that reached out and helped us develop and showed us love and showed us that they cared. And I remember Mark saying, as we got older, if we ever became successful in the walk of life, we wanted to come home and try to do something to give back. And I remember 19 years ago when we sat down and dreamed up this SAMARC Foundation and the basketball camp and then this luncheon. I remember, and I'll never forget what he said to me. We're never going to make a dime for doing this monetarily, but we're going to gain so much from this experience and from doing this that you can't put a monetary value on. And he's been right. I mean, just the blessings that come from it, to see the kids' faces, for them to know that there's people in the community that care about them, that's investing in them, it means a lot. So for us, it's probably the most important thing we've done, you know, outside of raising our own families.
Sam, I'm really looking forward to this afternoon. We're going to honor a lot of great basketball players and teams. We have a state champion, the Glenwood Gators, a lot of great teams, Hardaway going to the Final Four, Pacelli going to the championship game. It's going to be a fun afternoon.
Well, Columbus, man, the basketball is getting better. Football has always been there, but basketball is catching up, and it's nice to see that.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
All right, that was the former NBA player and coach Sam Mitchell, who founded this SAMARC Awards Luncheon, third annual foundation with Mark Upshaw. We'll be right back.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
And welcome back to the show. I am Richard Holders for the Sports Beat, here live at the St. Luke's Ministry Center, the third annual SAMARC Foundation Basketball Awards Luncheon, where we are honoring a bunch of high schools around the Fountain City. We just got finished announcing the players of the year for the different schools here in Columbus in the Phoenix City area. I'm here with WTVM sports director Jonathan Hoppe. Jonathan, you've been a guest on my show a couple of times. I got you here for a couple of minutes just to get a quick soundbite, but it's just great having you on the show.
Hey, Richard, I'm here for as long as you need me, and we're all just excited today to honor these young men and women. Thrift just said it a moment ago on stage. This has been an unmatched season for success in our area. Unfortunately, not quite as many state championships as we thought we maybe could have had, but still some great representation, and that's why we're here, honor these young men and women.
We do have some state champions, including the Glenwood Gators. Even though we're not honoring the Valley Rams tonight, they're still part of the Chattahoochee Valley. They had an incredible 33-0 season. Head coach Marshawn Harper did a great job. And the Central Red Devils going all the way to the championship game, but lost to Hoover. The Pacelli Vikings going all the way to the championship game. And then Hardaway going to the Final Four. I mean, incredible success. I was talking to Sam Mitchell earlier. I mean, Columbus is a basketball town. We got a lot of great basketball here in the Fountain City.
Well, when you've got Mark Upshaw and Sam Mitchell, that's a good place to start. There's a lot of history there. Actually, one of the guys presenting an award, he won't be here because he plays in the NBA, Grant Williams for the Boston Celtics. I actually went to high school with Grant in Charlotte, and he's somebody that pours into areas all across the country. So the fact that he can be representing the Boston Celtics in the NBA, I think is awesome. Last year, I didn't know that he was a presenter. It caught me by total surprise, and I reached out to him. And just to get that kind of support to recognize these kids on that level, you got to thank Sam Mitchell, Mark Upshaw, and then DJ Jones, who kind of makes this whole thing click. That's what I enjoy the most is seeing the reactions and there's a lot of hard work that goes into this. So to see these kids on stage, they get some big trophies, by the way. Those trophies are like 2-3
Oh, huge.
Tall. So I wish I could get one.
Absolutely. One player that we're going to see for the next 4 years, Jabria Lindsey. I mean, she was setting records at Central. I cannot wait to see the Central Lady Red Devils next year. And I think that Jabria is going to have a great high school career and possibly going on to the next level and maybe even the WNBA.
Yeah, and then you've got the Hill kid over there as well on the boys' side for Central that is picking up some major SEC offers too. So Jabria Lindsey, Jacoby Hill, certainly players that we'll be watching. And that's what's exciting too, is it does feel like this is only the start, obviously, for Jabria Lindsey, but some other student athletes as well. Maya Giles, you know, we lose her. She did a great job at Northside, but there'll always be talent in this area, and we hope it just continues to grow and grow.
Jonathan, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast, and we better go ahead and get in line to get the food. Everybody's beating us to the food.
Yeah, let's go get in line, and thank you, Richard. I'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. That was WTVM's sports director, Jonathan Hoppe. We'll be back with some more players and coaches and members of the media as well here on the Sports Beat.
Got mold? Call the Mold Man. Specializing in crawl space and interior mold remediation, encapsulations, and basement waterproofing since 2019. The Mold Man team takes pride in keeping your family healthy and your home mold free. Visit our website, themoldmanllc.com, to schedule a quote or give us a call at 678-227-9763.
All right, we're back here in the Sports Beat. Of course, I could not do this event without interviewing WRBL's Jack Patterson, who's been on the show like, what, 10 times already?
Feels like it, man.
Oh, man. But this is the first time I'm at this event. And we were talking about how I could not be part of this event, you know, getting to meet Sam Mitchell and Mark Upshaw. And they put on such an incredible event, third annual SAMARC Basketball Awards Luncheon. And just the talent here in the Fountain City. I mean, we have covered these teams from start to finish. And, you know, Glenwood's being honored tonight. But you had some teams, you know, Hardaway making the Final Four, Central making the championship. And you and Tyler for WRBL really have been all over the valley covering these teams.
Absolutely, Richard. And I think the best thing about this awards lunch and what Sam and Mark and DJ and Dale and Thrift, what they do, is it's an opportunity to put a positive spotlight on these kids. That's the most important thing that comes out of this, is that we're able to put a spotlight on these kids and highlight the positive things they're doing in the community. And you're right, we had a lot of great teams in our area this year. You know, we had the Glenwood boys bring it home. We had several teams play in the state championship, several teams in the Final Four, you know, Elite Eight. So this, you know, Thrift said it earlier today, and I will echo it. This may very well go down as the greatest basketball season in Columbus history.
And I'm just so glad that we got to be a part of it. I always enjoyed the work that you and Tyler do in WRBL, just getting the highlights. And we've had a lot of highlights this season.
Absolutely. We've had a lot of incredible players, and we're going to be honoring a lot of them today. And like I said, man, days like today are the fun part of the job, because you get to see a lot of smiles.
Well, I know we're about to eat, but the first part of this awards luncheon, Thrift Behringer recognized all the schools here in the Chattahoochee Valley and honored the players of the year for each school, for the boys and the girls.
Absolutely. And once again, this is an opportunity to highlight the things they did on the court, all the hard work and sacrifice, because, you know, it's not just, you know, starting in the fall whenever official practice starts. You know, this dates all the way back to the summer, conditioning and weightlifting and things like that. All the hard work that these athletes have put in to make it to this point, it's an opportunity to highlight what they've done and to, you know, showcase what they've been doing, and they get to take home some hardware for it too.
Thanks, Jack. I hope you enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
I am on my way to Birmingham for the NCAA tournament, so we keep on moving in the Highlight Factory, Richard. You know that.
Oh, absolutely. Jack is grinding every day. And yeah, I just enjoy the work you do at WRBL.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you, as always, for having me.
All right, that was WRBL Sports Director Jack Patterson. And we'll be back with some more interviews here at the SAMARC Third Annual Basketball Awards Luncheon here at the St. Luke's Ministry Center. I'm Richard Holdridge for the Sports Beat.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
You are listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, broadcasted on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key from 2 to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. This is a local podcast that covers Columbus sports and beyond. If you would like to hear more of this podcast, you can download us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.